A young Ryan Reynolds once said in reference to Bubsy 3D that when you have expectations, you are setting yourself up for disappointment.
Welcome to this episode of the Enlightened Gamer Podcast. Off to a rolling start already. It's going to be a little bit of a more awkward episode because I think this is what I'm going to call a budget episode. Whereas normally we do a top five, you're only getting a top three today. So, sorry.
But they're it's twice as good, so it's like you're getting six.
Ooh, yeah, exactly. And that was John, joined by John tonight. And yeah, we're going to bring back this segment because I heard a little bit about it last episode. John, what are you playing recently?
Oh, what am I not playing? I've been playing Euro Truck Simulator. I've been playing Awesome Knots. I've been playing Rocket League. And another game that I don't remember the name of.
Did you guys all hear the big news about Rocket League this week?
Cross-platform play on Xbox Live.
And Joel, you can jump in on that too. Joel, yeah, is also with us tonight.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's about all I had to say about it. I don't know. I guess until we see it happen, like, that's cool. I mean, that's the game that I definitely want to see have three-way cross-platform functionality more than anything else I could think of.
And the thing about console players is that they're plebeians, so it just increases the amount of people that we can beat on our Master Race PCs.
That doesn't seem very enlightened, John.
Well, it may be a bit of a circle jerk in the gaming community, but...
How dare you? Anyway, I've gotten some actual listener feedback. It didn't make its way into the website, but one of our fans actually was telling me that he enjoys the fact that we're bringing board games into the scene, and I'm excited about that too. I think my brother Joel has... How many board games do you think you have?
150, ballpark.
Thereabouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's still way more than your routine family of... You know, Candyland, the Game of Life, and Monopoly. So
133 of those are different kinds of Monopoly. So I have like Dogopoly, and I have like
Star Warsopoly,
the Mustang Monopoly, Cashopoly, or Cashflow game.
I don't own a single Monopoly actually. So yeah,
what?
I think I might have one that's like a decorative like thing, but Monopoly.
No one plays
not good.
That game. No, yeah, like
it's a broken game.
It's a family ruining simulator. Like that's all it is. It's all it's good for.
Well, the banker is always a cheater.
Well, when was the last time you've ever played an entire game out of Monopoly 2?
Never. I've never completed one.
Right, you get to the point where you're like, okay, I get it. You own most of the board. I'm not going to enjoy playing the rest of this game.
Once you start playing it, like you get punished for losing, and then you start losing more and more and more. Like I don't know.
So that should be the game of life.
Yeah.
They named it wrong.
There's so many inside jokes right now. That
just
are so inside that you will never know.
You'll never know any of it. Anyway, Joel, what are you playing? I mean, in the video game front or tabletop, I guess.
Okay, well, on the tabletop front, I don't want to talk too much about it. Because I want you guys to play it with me. So, okay, I've been playing video game-wise Cities Skylines, which is an amazing game. I've been playing that a lot lately. I'm pretty hooked. But then a series that we played a little bit of Rise of Nations, and then we played... like
Civ 5.
And then we played Civ 5, and it was like, man, there's got to be a cool like SimCity meets these games game out there. And then we found Anno, like the Anno series. So like we bought those games really cheap and have been playing those a little bit. I really want to sit down for like an 8-hour marathon session though of Anno. Like I think that game looks really good.
Yeah, I want to know all the mechanics to it and everything. I think we got basically to the very tip top of the iceberg of knowing how to play that game. And we played it for probably 3 or 4 hours. So
it was just getting to the point where it was cool and there was going to be interaction, I think, you know?
Right. And, like, it's really cool, the idea that it's co-op, and it's not necessarily at all military, it's not at all... I mean, I think it can be, but it's really... It reminds me of way more of, like, the older, and, like, John will say, arguably better SimCity games, and, like, not very much of, like, Civ 5 or, like, Rise of Nations. Like, I'm not... I haven't felt threatened by another player in terms of a military yet, but, I mean, I think that's an aspect of the game, too. I don't know. How much have you looked into that?
Who's that directed towards?
Mostly you, the person who spent time playing the game and not just installing it.
You know, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I feel like this game, I feel like it's really awesome, but it's one of those things that it's like you have to learn the system. And then I think the other thing too that I'm gonna say about it is, I can't really comment on it too much because I don't know the system, but I think it's one of those things that, like, when you're playing this game in, like, Civ 5, like, they're their own thing, you know? Like, they're their own niche of video gaming, and not even video gaming, but of gaming, period. Like, I think if you're going to be a serious Anno player or a serious Civ player, that's what you do. Like, you don't do anything else, you know? So,
It's
sort of like chess, right? You become a master at that game, and you don't really diversify.
So friends of mine would actually go over to another mutual friend of ours in high school, and he had Civilization 2, and people were known to go to this friend's house and literally just log in and play his game of Civ 2 on his computer and not really talk to him or his family or anything and just, like, be at this kid's house playing Civ 2 for, like, 10 hours or more.
Is that that's a real thing?
That's true. And, like, more than one of my friends would go over there and do this, and they'd be playing Civ 2 along with, it's Dave, like, Dave I think is a listener, and so people would go over to Dave's house and Dave would either, like, watch them play or Dave would be playing, or different people would pick up this game and play it for, like, 10 plus hours and, like, not really talk to anyone else or, like, do anything. It was always during the time that, like, we were playing Halo 2 local area network or something. But it's just, like, it's one of these games that, like, you lose, it's not completely, I mean, it's obviously not like a Twitch reflexes thing or anything. It's all turn-based, but it really does eat up a lot of your time before you realize how long it's been. Like, you can waste on a day on it very easily.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I think if I ever had to play game video games for 24 hours straight, I would definitely give Civ 5 a hard look.
That is something we do almost annually. That's something you're going to have to do. John and I think have committed at this point. I'm going to call him out to say that we're going to try and do the, I would say, Euro Truck 2 challenge of paying off a truck and see who can do that more quickly.
I'll do that too.
All right.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're talking about Extra Life, obviously, to those who've listen to us
to
at
the
all.
Uninitiated,
but
yeah.
I think this year at Extra Life, like, I think we're gonna go big, honestly. Like, I feel like, I don't know, give us ideas, listeners. Like, honestly, and the other thing too is, like, if you're cool and you live in the northern Indiana area and, like, you have a, like, church reception hall or something that wants to host a bunch of people, like, cool, we'll do that too. So I don't know, I think it'd be really fun though to do what you're saying, like, the, like, hey, who can pay their loan off first in real time. It's almost like the Penn and Teller's bus game.
Desert Bus, yeah. It's a slightly more interesting version of Desert Bus.
Yeah.
And, like, a multiplayer kind of, like, challenge version of Desert Bus.
But the interesting thing is that if you get too aggressive, you're going to lose a lot of your money from traffic tickets and from damages, since it costs a lot of money when you damage your own truck.
That's why you got to be careful, bro. I mean,
yeah, so it's going to be a balance of trying to rush and trying to follow the rules of the road.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it's
absolutely
such a good challenge.
Yeah,
We should also stipulate that your truck has to be repaired, too.
Well, I think, yes, okay, that's true. Well, and at a certain point, it's going to hurt you not to have it repaired. I guess we need to decide before then, when this happens, are we going to do American Truck Simulator or Euro Truck Simulator? Because in Euro Truck Simulator, one of the most frustrating parts of that game has to be the speed cameras, right? And, like,
Absolutely. How
often do you get hit by one of those? And
every intersection, it seems.
In the American version, I don't know if it's because I'm more accustomed to, like, the signs on the side of the road and stuff, but, like, I keep a better eye on my speed, and also, like, you get, like, ticketed by police cars, so, like, they have to actually be there to ticket you, I think, and they're a little bit more lenient, too. Maybe I'm making that up or imagining it, but, like, it seems like I got ticketed way more in Euro Truck than in American Truck Simulator.
The Mojave Desert expansion will be really awesome for those where you don't get tickets at all. And
well, and, like, yeah, that's the thing too. Like, a lot of the speed limits in the American parts of the game you're playing anyway are like 80 miles per hour or something. It's like, I've never been able to get my truck anywhere close to that. So, you know, that would be a dream of mine to see my truck go 80 miles per hour while pulling a giant trailer.
What's it called? Oh, man, you guys probably won't know this because, like, I don't know. I'm a nerd and I just know weird stuff. There's a racing series where, like, you race laps and you're trying to, like, match your lap times every time. And it's not necessarily the fastest.
Trackmania Nations?
Maybe. I'm not positive, but, like, this reminds me of that, like Euro Truck does. It's, like, it's a racing game, but it's not really a racing game because, yeah, you're racing to pay your things off, but you can't break this speed limit. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. So it's
a tactical racer.
I think, honestly, it's more, like, a challenge to pay attention the entire time and not feel like this. I'm sure that's a thing for truck drivers too. It's like, these are long stretches of road. And like, even as a gamer, I'm like, all right, let's see if I can use my other hand to like, maneuver the TV on and start something on Netflix or whatever. So, I think like, yeah, not getting distracted is probably the biggest part of the challenge, or at least will be for me, because I'm pretty proficient at the game by this point.
So, in a nice segue here, would you classify American Truck Simulator as one of your most disappointing games ever?
No. I think it's one where I need to spend more time with it, but it's not something that I immediately picked up, thought was gross, and put down. Like, and that's kind of tonight's topic, which is our top three. And this is a budget episode. Sorry, you don't get a top five this time. Our top three games that were just letdowns. Like, overwhelmingly, you walked away from the game, I think, after a couple hours feeling like, man, there was a picture that was painted to me of what this game was going to be, and there's my experience with the game, and they're just way different. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, John, do you have three games that you could come up with? Like, I know that your library of games you've played is not as encyclopedic as mine or Joel's, I don't think.
I do. I have three games I've picked out. It may not be the definitive list for me, but it's pretty close.
And none of them start with Carmen Sandiego?
No. They are all from the last decade.
Do any of them rhyme with Blundertale?
No, I haven't even played it, so I can't say I'm disappointed.
I can't believe you said that.
We're going to get so much hate mail.
Wait until you see my list. Like, my list, like, honestly, my number one, I think everyone's going to agree with, but my two and three, we haven't gotten much hate mail yet, but we will definitely get some on this. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and go. My number three, and I'm lumping a bunch of games together because they're kind of the same thing, East Side Hockey Manager, Out of the Park Baseball, and Football Manager. All those games, yeah. I wanted so badly to love them because when I play Madden, I actually play the games like maybe 40% of the time. And the other 60%, I'm like trying to make trades and maneuver my drafting and like doing the franchise day-to-day stuff, like setting hot dog prices. So I'm like, okay, so like that part of the game, it's supposed to be way more in depth than like Football Manager and like Hockey Manager and Out of the Park Baseball. But like, the learning curve on those games is so steep, and I've never spent the time to learn it. And like, it's so punishing. If you make a miscue, your franchise is screwed for like 10 years. So like, I don't know. It was really disappointing to me that it was so hard.
Even if it's something that's deceptively naive for me, I always feel too, like when I'm playing Madden and I'm doing like a fantasy draft and like picking up prospects and, you know, for like the annual draft and stuff like that, in the back of my mind is always this presence of thought of, well, all of this is important because obviously at some point I want to play the game, and that's what's really most important to me. Whether that's a delusion to myself or not, that part of the game exists. So like, I can at least be pushing towards it. Like, the thing that bothers me the most about, especially Out of the Park, and I think like Hockey Manager and whatever, there's literally no visual interface to ever watch any of your efforts come to fruition. It's all like imaginative.
It's like when you like don't have the actual plan for like MLB like season pass, and you want to follow a baseball game on their website, and you can see like icons or pictures of the players go around the bases, and like in real time, like the pitches and strikes show up on the box score. Like, that's what you see. And right. Like, I love hockey so much, so I was like, oh, cool, a hockey game where I could, you know, run a hockey team. Well, like, and you spoke about delusions a little bit, like saying that the grand delusion that, hey, I'm actually going to play this game at some point is why you're so whatever about stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you, like, the other thing is I have a delusion, too, when I play those games that, like, somehow, like, the Oakland A's are, like, somehow tracking Xbox players to find out who has what it takes to replace, you know, like their general manager and be the next guy that's gonna.
They're the Moneyball team. Like, they're obviously willing to think outside the box and hire someone who's a little
really
bit crazy.
Good at Xbox.
Right, exactly. So.
But is that kind of like when you're a kid and you're shooting hoops in your driveway and you see a car, a black sedan, drive by? And you're like, oh, that's probably a scout.
Right.
For, and then, you know, the Pacers.
And then, like, you miss a shot terribly, like, worse than you have all day.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on my call from the Blackhawks to come run their front office, though. So, anyway, I would do that. Hey, listen, I would quit my job.
Blackhawks.
I would quit my job on Christmas morning to be the general manager of any NHL team. So I'm going to put that on the record for any NHL team right now.
And you do have the best hot dog price, too, right? You figure that out.
If out of our 100 fans, one of them happens to be, like, the owner of an NHL team.
That'd be really
looking
great.
For a new coach.
That's the kind of thing I'd like to have happen in my life. No, and the other thing, the final thing is, I've been thinking about hockey while I talk about this. Hockey. So I'm talking like a Canadian here, huh?
Hockey.
A hot dog and Canadian hockey. Well, yeah, hot dog. If you see me say hot dog
hat
earlier,
dag.
Like it's sausage. That's Chicago. Anyway.
You should say sorry to our listeners.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Let's go to Tim Hortons, eh? Do you guys know Tim Horton was an actual hockey player, too? Like a good hockey player? And he died from a drunk driving accident. So, yeah, pretty interesting.
I thought he was like a pancake salesman or something.
It'd be like someone opening a like coffee house called Mario Lemieux for people our age, which is kind of interesting. And then, like, you know, 30 years from now, no one knows who Mario Lemieux is. And they're just like, this coffee is great.
Who?
Is Mario Lemieux dead?
No. He just had like three kinds of cancer that he overcame.
Oh, Mario Lemieux. I did hear about that, I think, recently. One of them was really recent, wasn't it?
I don't know about that, but he had it while he was playing. He had, like, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
What?
Yeah, crazy. He would have probably set a lot of NHL records, but his career
was still
really short.
Fantastic, too. Yeah.
The thing that's fun about Mario Lemieux is he was a part owner of the Penguins while he played for them. So, like, just funny.
That is weird. I mean, that's cool history for hockey. Huh. That brings me to my number three. Actually, no, John. Let's go ahead and have you do yours first.
Well, this
great segue. One of my favorites.
I have two solid entries and one lazy one. That's not really bringing much to the table here, but I'm gonna say it anyway. And that would be the first Black Ops, because the Call of Duty Black Ops, because that kind of ushered in an era of Call of Duty games kind of being the same, not being very exciting,
right?
Having four DLC packs at $15 each. That, you know, would extract another $60 out of the players. That was the beginning of the end for me. I was so excited when I saw the trailers. It looked great. It ended up being a steaming pile of crap.
Well, Black Ops is when I feel like the games became super mainstream and every 13-year-old kid started playing them.
Well, yeah. You had to deal with them on your headset and Xbox Live as well.
It was definitely like John was saying, you could... If you were following a trend that you were afraid of, Black Ops definitely just confirmed everything, legitimized all of your fears and said, oh, this series is going to be the same thing coming out every year over and over again.
With a new skin every year, or every other year, depending on the publisher and developer. But it became way too formulaic at that point. And I really did enjoy Modern Warfare 2. I may be alone there. I don't know if that's a popular opinion or not.
I think it had technical issues that I took issue with.
Weapons needed to be nerfed.
Well, it got ruined by the player community with everyone doing not just nuke boosting, but the whole
javelin
care package.
Glitch, glare,
the javelin,
care package
yeah,
glitch. Yeah.
Yeah, so there was like every week there was a new way to exploit that game. It kind of ruined the multiplayer experience, and I thought, man, like, what happened with this game that this wasn't, you know, done with, like, figured out during playtesting or whatever? And the answer is probably they didn't do it. So,
but they had some great things too, like the AC-130. That was a ton of fun. When you earned an AC-130, you can just call in rockets on your on the battlefield.
Now, I won't dispute to you that I think that was probably the last good entry into the series, and Black Ops was kind of the definitive like turd they rolled out after that.
Yeah, that was like the shark jumping moment.
I have a different experience with the Modern Warfare games in that I wanted them to be so good. I never liked any of them, and here's why. I played SOCOM. Like, seriously, I played SOCOM 30 hours a week at one point. And I played with, like, a group of guys from my work fairly competitively. And we got to the point where we had maps memorized. We knew rules. We would do tactical maneuvers together and stuff. And so they stopped making SOCOM games, and they started making more Modern Warfare games. And so I wanted Modern Warfare to be SOCOM, and it never was to me. So, like, I don't know. I wish they'd make a SOCOM game like the old SOCOM 3. Like, that game was amazing. But anyway, that's a tangent for me.
I think the best games to resemble SOCOM were, like, America's Army and... kind of like a, putting a first player or first person skin on it. And then I was going to say Arma, probably the Arma series on PC. But Arma is like super serious and like it's really crazy. And it's like 200 square kilometers of one giant continuous map and everything. I don't know. It's, well, it's too much probably of like war simulator.
If we ever do the opposite list of like top three pleasant surprise games, I would definitely put Sniper Elite 3 on there. Because I love that game and I didn't expect anything out of it. And it felt a little bit like SOCOM to me in that you were doing these covert things in third person.
Right.
And then Insurgency is another one that I would put in there too. Oh, like yeah, that kind of feels the spirit of SOCOM a little bit.
Definitely.
So,
yep.
You know, it's interesting anyway. You brought up America's Army. That's a game I've probably put close to 500 hours in.
And it's your number two.
No.
So disappointing.
I would have put 1,000 hours into it.
But the shooters don't really have a lot of emphasis on tactics. In that game, you would constantly radio into your teammates and tell them where you were. So you would have like this mental image of the battlefield.
Right.
Every location had a name, and they've gone completely away from that. Now it's just run around and shoot, and I do not care for that style.
It's all twitch type, like fast reflex,
arcadey.
Exactly, and it's all kind of garbagey nonsense. And like, I don't know, it, for me, like these games, at least on some degree, like I always had that gynecomastial vision of myself somehow being a soldier over in Iraq or whatever, and like being in shape, and like, but also taking it seriously. And like, I don't know, I think the kids playing these games just think that going to war would be kind of like a game or a joke or whatever. And like, I think, I mean, maybe that's like an army recruitment thing or whatever, but I wanted the games to be more serious. And as the series has progressed, it's become less and less of like anything resembling a military tactical shooter. And it's just, yeah, it's literally, it's MLG community, like Shrek, Doritos, no scopes,
420/360 no scope,
420/360 no scope, blaze it. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's just, it's gone the wrong direction for me, and I don't see anything else that's really picked up the baton. I think the Battlefield series was good for a while, and I don't really think it's even that good anymore.
What about CSGO? Where does that fall on the spectrum?
I put it in the MLG category for sure. People who play that game are hardcore.
Yeah, and I think it's that community, and it's probably the worst in terms of like people taking the game to I don't know, kind of like the hyperbolic extent of being like, I need a gaming mouse for this. I need all this kind of stuff. And then also, it's really bad about skins, I think, also. And like
Don't even list the DLC on the Steam store. You have to buy it in the game because there's like tens of thousands of dollars of DLC.
Yep. So, yeah,
including,
I guess.
Including like the skins that are $10,000 a piece. From what I've heard, like just ridiculous, super rare things.
Which makes sense because if you're not an idiot at all, you get a lot of your games probably from like Kinguin or G2Play. And every time I'm on there, it's like, oh, since you bought this $3 game, maybe you want like a $20 like random 50 pack of skins for guns on CSGO. And I'm like, no, no, thank you. But like they really have this is a super hot pack that might have one of those $10,000 skins in it or whatever. And like, obviously it's all a scam, but like, I just wondered about that. So there must be like, hyper rare guns and, accessories and whatever, not guns, but like skins.
And that opened up the whole chest thing too, where you would buy crates and chests and then you would hope for a lucky chance of getting something.
That brings me to my number three, by the way.
Well, I'm just really glad I've never spent hundreds of dollars on a free to play game.
Do I hear Metal Gear in the background there? No, I mean
Mech Warrior.
No, I know. I'm just making a joke. But Metal Gear? That's what they are, though. I mean, like realistically. Well, I think Mech Warrior came first, though. Like,
yeah, Mech Warrior's been around forever. But yeah, I've fallen for the money trap on that one too, for sure.
Right. Speaking of which, my number three is Superman Returns. See, I like that was an obvious segue.
Absolutely.
Did either one of you ever play
the Super Nintendo one?
Is that No. The Xbox 360. I think it was like a pretty...
Oh, the one where the city was a character, kind of?
Yeah, exactly. So it came out, I think, like within the first year of Xbox 360 coming out. And like, so it kind of has that kind of gloss on it, too, where it's like, it doesn't look as good as what you'd expect from other 360 games. And then also, yeah, so like the idea is, and I thought this was kind of novel, and that again is why it fits on this list, because I was excited about the idea of like, oh, you can't kill Superman. So the way to like defeat him in this game is if Metropolis City, you know, is in enough peril, loses enough of its health bar, that then it becomes something where like he's defeated, you know, like he gives up or something. So that was like, I thought that was a cool mechanic to the game, but it's just like, I don't know, the game itself was really uninteresting. Superman had very few combos, and like honestly the most fun part of the game for me was just flying around, like just flying, like the actual feeling of flying in that game was really good. But then like anytime I had to land and like be bothered with taking care of enemies and stuff, beating them up, it was just really disheartening. Like, the part of the game that should be the most fun was the least fun. And, like, I really just flew around hoping buildings would be on fire so I could put them out with, like, ice breath and stuff. So, I don't know. Like, a game that I was super excited about just because I'm, like, terribly kind of committed to this comic book character, Superman, who, like, will never have a good video game. Or, like, you know, will, but... maybe, I don't know, probably never. I mean, we've had a discussion about it in a podcast that will probably never come to air, but
yeah. Oh, I wish we could salvage that episode and take it from the non-recorded airspace it's in. We'll do that episode again at some point. But hey, to put another little like context on this too, for why it was so disappointing, because I'm with you, this is right after Grand Theft Auto 3, which was the first real big sandbox game, open world, you can go where you want to go kind of thing. So this is a brand new idea in video gaming, okay? There's a Spider-Man game out that is out at about the same time that's a really good open world game too. And then you hear that this Superman game is going to be an open world Superman game. And the bar's pretty high to start with, you know? Superman's pretty amazing. These other two games are pretty awesome. And then this game comes out and it's just not that good.
Right. Well, it didn't do anything well. I think a Superman game can be good if you really capture the idea of what it would be like to be a really all-powerful being, and like kind of toy around with that mechanic. And it didn't do that well because like all the villains you fought and stuff still felt like bosses that had a pretty good chance of like smacking you around or whatever. And then also like, I don't know, it didn't also feel good in terms of like, the civil service and stuff you would do. I mean, like, I think that seems stupid, but like, I would love to have those like, Dick Donner, like 70s Superman moments of being like, there's a cat in a tree, go get it for this little girl. And like, if it happens like organically enough in the game, I'm like, that's a fun little moment. Maybe like an Easter egg, a callback to the movies and stuff, some fan service there that like is fun to do in the game and makes you feel good and just like literally gives you warm fuzzies. And it didn't have that either. So I don't know.
Well, and then, John, I'm guessing you probably don't know a ton about this one. It's probably a little before your gaming time. But this is fun for you, John, to know this little bit here. The last boss in that game, if I remember right, is a tornado.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? I've already fought, like, a 40-foot tall Metallo made of kryptonite. I've already fought, like, whatever. I've even had Mr. Mixelplix or whatever come along. I fought Bizarro. Like, what's the point of the last boss in the game being, like, an F2 tornado? It wasn't even, like, an overwhelmingly large tornado from what I remember. I was like, okay. I mean, like... Yeah, I guess the character is Metropolis, and that'd be something damning to Metropolis, certainly, to be like a giant tornado rolling through. And if I can stop it, that's great. But why is that like the big exclamation point at the end of this game?
Like, wasn't just, even like a fire devil or anything like that? It was just a regular tornado?
No, like, I mean, the end of any Superman game, and this would be completely out of the canon of DC Universe, should be like Goku comes out of heaven and like fights you, or like... God himself. And like, that should be the end of any Superman game. Not like, you flew around backwards and breathed on a tornado or whatever. Like, okay, cool. Like, that was like the underwhelming end of that game. So I was like, okay, thanks. I mean, like, it was so jarring. It was like, completely out of nowhere too, that it was like, this tornado is here, which is weird enough, and then that was also the end of the game. So yeah, that's easily why I also made this list, is just it was not well written. It didn't feel polished at all. All right. Joel, number two.
Okay, you got to give me an honorable mention after this, because I just, in the 11th hour here, have changed my list, and it's made my list a lot stronger, but I just thought of this. My number two, I'm switching it up here. It's a World of Warcraft. And I'm going to go specifically with Mists of Pandaria, maybe even the second half of Cataclysm. That game was really good and really fun and super customizable and just a good game.
And then the kid gloves came out. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. So basically, Mists of Pandaria, they're making the game into a Kung Fu Panda video game almost. And then Cataclysm, like even the end of Cataclysm, Lich King was awesome. And Burning Crusade was awesome because they were just adding to the game that was already there. But then it kind of became, as the more you played, the more Burning Crusade didn't make any sense now, because it's this weird island that like doesn't connect to anything else. And so it's almost like it needed to be written out of the game. And then like Lich King added Death Knights, which were really a cool class. Cataclysm just added a little more yet. Like there was like a, basically I think in Cataclysm there was like a Cataclysm that showed up on the map. So and then like during Cataclysm they had some patches that came out where you weren't able to customize your character near as much as you could at one time. And then the real disappointment in World of Warcraft is this. There's this like just cycle of like gear grinding just to have the next patch come out by the time you get all the top tier gear to do like, you know, really awesome competitive type battlefields, or do like competitive level like beating of the dungeons. You get to the point where all your timings are perfect, you beat like, you know, Cho'Gall or whoever, and then, oh hey, cool, you got that done, now here comes another patch, so you can't feel accomplished ever at all. Like your awesome elite tier armor is now like basically a green or something, because like this next tier stuff came out,
right?
And you might as well go try and grind for that now. And then,
by
like,
the way, that's going to happen with every expansion pack. And then exactly. Also the other problem with that too is this epic awesome gear that makes you better than everyone else. Everyone else also has it, so it doesn't really actually matter.
Right. And so every Death Knight looked the same for a while. Every, you know, because you'd go to like your like Wowhead or whatever and say, what's the best, you know, DPS gear for this class? And everyone had the same spec character and stuff. And so this idea of having your own person in an alternate reality just kind of went away. And like I played that game 3,500 hours on the first three expansions. And then I seriously stopped cold turkey on Mists of Pandaria. Like I was like, I'm not going to play this. Like I am done with it.
How many hours?
And there's 3,600 probably.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe a little more than that. I would say 3,600 and some change. Like it was months. I think it was like literally like months of my life.
How many maxed out characters?
I got dragged into it. And I only had like one maxed out character, and I think I spent like, I would say close to 600 hours maybe.
Right.
Like playing that game too. And like the entire time I was trying to convince myself that it was more fun than it actually was, which is like kind of not a cool thing to do.
Well, and then like you would leave the game, for me at least, I would leave the game for a few months and then come back because I'm like, man, this is really getting out of balance in my life. And as soon as I came back, I'd have nostalgia feels for like all the like looting sounds and like quest completed sounds. And like, and like, so like, I would be like, oh man, this feels good. And
yeah,
I play like seriously another 1,000 hours.
Some like Pavlovian type addiction
exactly.
Associated with that game.
And
it was
the other
weird.
Thing too is like, I'm pretty sure you're probably closer to pushing 1,000 hours. And I remember thinking, man, Matthew, I wish you really would have gotten into this game and played it a lot. Cause like, seriously, you played it a quarter of what I did, but you played a lot of hours on it. And like, you know, the game, like, you know, everything about it. So
right.
I don't know. John, yeah. it's good you never played it, because honestly, like the way how you like get like really intensely involved in something,
yeah,
like you would be the 3,600 hour guy probably.
And I could sense that. I did try it for a few hours, but I had lost a few friends to WoW, so I realized that I was going to get sucked in if I allowed myself to learn how it worked. So I just put it away.
I will say this: it's a sub game. You pay $15 a month on it. But it saved me a lot of money, because that was the only game I was playing for like probably a year and a half. I mean, I would play maybe an NCAA football game and that would be it. So anyway, that game ended up being a huge disappointment on some of the later expansions, and they were like so far ahead of all the other MMORPGs. At one point, like, they could have been king forever, but they tried to mess with the success they already had and just kind of screwed everything up.
I'm going to allow something I don't normally do until the end. This has already been an awkward episode anyway. What was your honorable mention that got written off?
Okay, this... dude, hate mail. Here it comes. Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, like, I don't know much about that one, I guess. 10 is where I kind of fell off. Was that the one that was on PlayStation 2?
Like with Waka 2? And, yeah, it was the
with
one that
Blitz
came
Ball?
Out on PS... Yeah, it's the one that came out... it was the first one to come out on PS2. And, like, it was the first one that was a 3D rendered, like, model type one. And so there was really, really high expectations for it. And then they brought it out, and it wasn't an awesome game of, like, Japanese cool RPG world. It was like... It felt like, at the same time Kingdom Hearts games were out or were coming out, it
right.
felt like another Kingdom Hearts game. Because it's like, oh, I'm playing as a small teenage boy who plays Blitzball. That's, no, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like it at all.
Well, one thing that I'll agree with you on, I guess, I played maybe 3 or 4 hours into the game, and I don't think even at that point I was probably to the overworld yet. And, like, I don't know if there is one or, like, if I missed it or what. But, like, I know Final Fantasy VII probably even takes longer to get to the overworld. But, like, it also had more of a draw for me, I guess. Like, I cared more about the characters, and maybe it just hit me at a better time in my life. But, yeah, Final Fantasy X, I pretty easily, like, played it for a few hours, couldn't find a memory card, didn't care, never came back to it. Like, it was one of my friend's games, too, so I guess, like, I didn't own it, but I wasn't really captured by any of it either.
Right. No, I just... I don't know. The bar was pretty high on it, and then it ended up just being this weird niche. And, like, the game's critically renowned. I mean, they've released it 5 different times now in HD versions and X-2 or whatever. I mean, but I just didn't like it. So, anyway.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That's the one that dropped off for World of Warcraft.
Well, so. X2 was just, like, a schoolgirl cosplay reskin, I think, or something like that, from what I remember. So, I mean, I won't give you too much trouble for...
Well,
giving that series grief.
They had a Murderer's Row of awesome games come out. 7, arguably the best game of all time. I mean, like, you could make that argument.
Yeah, and people who don't say 7 is the greatest, I mean, you've got a decent chance of hearing them say either 6 or 8. I've even heard good arguments for 8.
Yeah, 8's the one with the gunblades in it.
Correct.
Right? I mean,
yep.
And that's a great game, too.
Squall. Yeah, and, like, there's a good story wrapped up in all of it. Like,
and then I don't remember much about 9, but those 3 in a row right there were, like, just bam, bam, bam. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yep.
And then 10 comes out, and it's like, dude, I don't want to play a 2-hour tutorial on how to play this Blitzball game I don't have any interest in at all.
Well, that's when, too, the characters became a lot more androgynous, and you could tell a lot more fan service and, like, kind of attention was being paid to, like, their Eastern audience as opposed to their Western audience, I think. And, like, I don't know, the characters began their journey towards becoming kind of this amalgamous kind of blur of being the same person with slightly different attire or whatever. Whereas, like, I feel like you got a lot of actual character diversity in 7 and 6, and, like, to a lesser extent, even 8, though. Like, I mean, all the characters did feel more unique and then kind of felt more, I don't know, more of a what am I trying to say here? Kind of mixed together. I don't know. Further iterations. And the more you got into it, too, like, I think the characters in the more recent games, like, they've become more androgynous, less interesting. I don't know. It's just, I think the series has fallen off a lot. Although I'll say, for their MMO, like, the MMO has started out pretty bad and, like, has actually gotten a lot better based on all the feedback that I've gotten from it. So, all right, number 2, John.
Number 2 for me would be Just Cause 3, which came out late last year. A lot of hype around that game. Just Cause 2 was pretty fantastic. I've put several dozen hours into that game. I didn't even beat it. I just had so much fun messing around with the townsfolk and the military and just destroying as much as I could. But Just Cause 3 was terrible. It was a botched launch. I still can't play it, even though my graphics card is supposedly supported. There's, like, input lag when you try to move around. There's a good quarter to half second delay. The vehicle steering, especially motorcycle steering, is extremely wonky, and there are still like polygons missing when you look towards the horizon. Like you'll see just gaps in the mountains and whatnot. So it's not even rendering properly. It was a huge disappointment. I dropped $45 on that game and only put about 4 or 5 hours into it before I just put it away for good.
Huh. I mean, that's especially kind of tragic, I think, because those games, they're fun because they're formulaic, and you kind of go into it with an expectation of knowing exactly what you're going to get, and if you get that, you're really satisfied. And so, like, it was kind of like, even as the consumer, you were meeting them at least halfway and saying, like, hey, just give me the same crap you keep, you know, pushing out every year, make it look a little bit prettier, and I'll like your game, and then they couldn't even deliver on that, so. And
the thing that is unfortunate that I fear is a new trend is that it worked just fine on Xbox One and PS4. So it seems like they're optimizing these games for these consoles, and then they're not testing them fully on PC, even though, you know, PC hardware could blow either of the consoles out of the water.
Kind of an Arkham Knight situation, if I understand what happened with that correctly.
They actually removed that game from Steam so that they could fix it. It right. was so bad and so unoptimized.
And it's back now, I think. I'm pretty sure you can buy
it
now.
Just slightly less broken now from what I understand, too.
Yeah. So.
Oh, wow.
And they did this thing where they put a frame rate cap on these games, too, so that it matches that of a console.
So they, like, locked at 30 or whatever it is?
Exactly. So, yeah, Just Cause 3, incredibly disappointing. Like, I was tempted to buy it on the Xbox One, but I don't really want them to get any more of my money. So I'm gonna argue that one on principle and probably not buy it for Xbox One until it's free or cheap.
Yeah, it'll come down to like $5, or you might even be right, like a game with gold this year or something.
Yeah, or maybe I'll just buy it used at GameStop just so I know they're not making any money off of me.
Gotcha. Okay, my number two is a Star Wars title, and it fits in line with Joel's number two.
If you say Pod Racers, I'm going to be so mad.
Oh, are you kidding me? No, there's no way. That fits in your category. You're talking about unexpected delights. Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh.
And that's something that I think is still a good game, and I think the reason it was a letdown for me is that I thought I was going to enjoy it a lot more. So I'm really not even going to blame it on The Old Republic, because from what I've heard, even though it's gone from being a sub service to now being like free to play, and there are different things about why that's good and bad about a game, it just wasn't fun for me anymore. And I think, like, I thought maybe with the idea of it being Star Wars, with me having a lightsaber and me having my own ship, a pedigree of coming from Knights of the Old Republic and being developed by BioWare, the game itself having every line of dialogue being read by an actual voice actor, there were a lot of things going for this game, a lot, and a lot of things I was really excited for. And then the game came out, and I was like, huh, this game is good. It's kind of everything they promised it would be, and it's kind of like, you know, it's great, but it's also still an MMO. And then, like, that's where I get to the point where you were, Joel, where it's like, this is all fun and great, but, like, my character is going to look this way because he's this level, and I want to do these things, and then, like, three levels from now, he's going to look a little bit different. I'm not going to feel unique at all, even though the story is going to be, like, kind of told in front of me, and the dialogue system is really cool, and the party system is really cool. You can't, at this point, for me, make me feel like this isn't just still another MMO. They did a lot of things to combat that, and this is, like, honestly a really good MMO. There's just at that time where I was like, I expected myself to really be grabbed and brought back into it and get kind of those, like, World of Warcraft nostalgia feels and get, like, kind of that, I don't know. Yeah, that whole, like, salivating Pavlovian response against it, and it just didn't happen for me. So I don't know, like, I got a character up to pretty high. I think the level cap was 50, and I got a character up to like level 36, and I was like, I just can't do this anymore. I kind of took a break from MMOs for a while, because I was like, what's the point?
I think what this game suffers from, and it suffers from it more than Warcraft even does, is that everybody who plays that game, like, wants to either be a bounty hunter or a Jedi, and so there's two classes that are just, like, the thing, and nobody's going to try and be, like, a trooper, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
everyone wants to have a lightsaber. Everyone wants to use the Force. There's right. very few, troopers and smugglers. And then also,
this is where I'm going to have to get some information from you. Okay.
Okay.
This game, I believe when it was in development, there was some talk of this, or it might've even been when it was first released that it was this way, where your character would not be a Jedi. You wouldn't know if you were a Jedi or not. Like, you would just start playing the game, and then, like, it was a random, like encounter that you might become a Jedi.
You're
like,
becoming
10,000 people becomes a Jedi.
You're confusing this game with Star Wars Galaxies. And Galaxies was really cool. And the kind of the point of Galaxies being cool was that you were a fixture in the Star Wars universe, and you might have been like, that drifter through space or whatever. And not everyone was a bounty hunter. Not everyone was a smuggler. So, I mean, you kind of played a role in the Star Wars universe. And then some people, it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's something in the code, like you were saying, or the way that it might have been, and this would have been really cool, so, like, GMs in that game or moderators were like kind of so involved with its process, people would notice how other people play and then kind of be like, oh, given this quest line that lets them become a Jedi or something. And I think that's really awesome.
What happened to Galaxies?
It's actually
a terrible flop.
It's actually it's being picked up by like people who are hacking the systems and like setting up their own servers and stuff. So it's actually coming back and it's free to play now because like due to fan love of the game, they brought the servers back to life and you can sign up for an account right now and play it for free, I'm pretty sure.
Well, and Galaxies, it was more like the Second Life Star Wars game.
Right.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well,
yeah.
I think they might have ruined it at some point, too, and made it basically, like, with one of the expansion packs, it was almost like a guarantee you'd become a Jedi, or a Jedi became one of the classes. So, but the original, and I think that's what they're trying to kind of reignite, too, is, like, the vanilla version of Star Wars Galaxies, where there either were no Jedi, or it's literally, like you're saying, 1 in 10,000 players, like, randomly had a bit of code in their character that was generated that would allow them to take a quest path to become a Jedi.
It doesn't make any sense because in the most recent Star Wars movies, they regard Luke Skywalker as like Paul Bunyan or like John Henry. And they're like, oh yeah, I've heard stories of him, but he's not real.
Right. He can't actually be real.
They think of Jedi's that way. Like, so like basically the Force is this thing that people like don't even know if it's real or not. And now you want me to play in a game in the universe where everyone has the Force. Like,
right.
I understand it's a different timeline, like a different era, but it's just, it didn't grip me. And then like the graphics on it, I didn't care for it either. Like the way how the body shapes were just the weirdest thing.
Bubbly and cartoony.
You look like Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
Like if you were big and like, I don't know, it was just weird.
Well, that was one of the default, you looked like one of the characters from The Incredibles, basically. Like they might have, Pixar might have literally done the 3D modeling for this game and everything was kind of bubbly and cartoony. So I don't know, it was a little weird.
Yeah, that was a big letdown for me too.
Yeah. Well, that's my number two anyway.
Well, and then, like, I think with Galaxies, what it was is they had a midi-chlorians pack, is that what it's called? And you could pay $9.95 to get an injection of midi-chlorians.
That makes sense.
Is that sarcasm? So, that has to be sarcasm.
I hope.
Yeah, like, I don't...
Well, that was in episode one, right?
If EA was involved with the game at all, then it wasn't.
Right.
Didn't George Lucas decide he wanted to explain the Force with science instead of just letting it be a mystical power?
He did. That's the midi-chlorians, so... John, I know that you haven't actually watched all 6 Star Wars movies, which makes you now the least likable of the 3 of us. But
well, if I wasn't already, but yeah.
Well, then it would have solidified it in everyone's mind. You need to go back, and you can easily skip the first movie for sure, and probably the first 3. But the explanation of the Force was basically this: there are like these microscopic things that live in your bloodstream. Called midichlorians that like basically help you control and manipulate parts of the universe. And so midichlorians were in your bloodstream. And then I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then I also went on to think, so if Anakin Skywalker is the most powerful Jedi because he has like 20,000 or something crazy midichlorians, how does he still remain the most powerful Jedi when he loses 80% of his body? Like what? And like right. All of his blood.
That's
so like unless he's been giving like taking transfusions out and like they had all that stuff, like he's been giving the Emperor blood donor like packets for a long time. It doesn't make any sense at all how after he loses all of his appendages and things, he's still the most powerful Jedi in the universe.
Right.
But anyway, I mean that's me getting like way too far into like that explanation of how the Force works. All right, so Joel, you're number one.
Number one. My number one is there was a game called The Elder Scrolls, game series called about Morrowind called The Elder Scrolls, and there was a game that came out called Oblivion, and Oblivion was really awesome, and then Skyrim came out and it was super disappointing. And now that's not it. I'm lying.
Oh my god!
But it does have to do with Oblivion.
My blood pressure was starting to rise.
So Everyone's going to agree with my number one. Skyrim was a big disappointment.
We can all agree.
It's all going to come full circle here. Everyone's playing Oblivion, and we love it. And we're like, man, I wish Oblivion was multiplayer and you could play with your friends, because that would make this game just really off the charts. And then Two Worlds is like, hey, guess what we're going to be? We're going to be Oblivion with multiplayer. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so good that you can play multiplayer with your friends in an Oblivion, like... and so you might think that's my number one game. It's not at all, because here's what happens. Two Worlds comes out, and it's the worst pile of pile ever. And, like, it's just absolutely terrible, to the point where the game studio... sends a letter to people who bought that game, like, directly to them, and says, hey, listen, Two Worlds was really bad. We're sorry. Like, we really messed this game up. We're cutting bait here. We're not gonna do anything else with this. No more development of it. We're just moving on. It's, you know, we're done. We're done with Two Worlds, because we're moving on to Two Worlds 2. And this game is going to be so good.
AKA
it's going to be
worlds.
Everything Two Worlds was supposed to be. Two Worlds 2 will fix it all. Two Worlds is love. Two Worlds is life. Two Worlds 2. And that game comes out, and it's another hot pile of... So that game was seriously the worst disappointment ever, because, like, seriously, they're like, hey, listen, we got you hyped up one time by promising these things and then not delivering them at all. Then we wrote you a sincere apology saying, we're sorry we hyped this game up too much. We're going to go ahead and, you know, let you know that we're fixing that by making an awesome game now, and hype this game up and release another pile of crap. So I know Two Worlds and Two Worlds 2 you could get for free. Actually, I think they would give you like a dollar or two to take a key. So,
$2.59 on Steam right now.
Disappointing. Oh, it's so bad. They're both so bad.
Oh, really bad reviews.
Yeah, they're not. John, take my brother's word for this. It's not worth looking into. You could read a list of the features involved in this game and think, oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? But trust me, you just don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
And the hype was real. Like, people were so hyped for this game.
Yeah.
I mean, you were a part of that too, Matthew, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I definitely bought into some of it. But maybe we'll get into that in about 5 minutes. All right. So John, what is your number one?
My number one, and this may be a bit repetitive for me to say this, but I can't say enough bad things about this game. I know I dissed on it in the last episode, but regardless, it's going to be SimCity 2013, which was a steaming pile of Joel. Thank you.
I'm gonna edit this episode so that it's going to say, I can't say enough bad things about Borderlands 2.
It's and Skyrim.
Oh, my
gosh.
Goodness.
Where do we even start with SimCity 2013? The cities were small.
I'll start by debating you completely and saying that, okay, I absolutely love that game, and that it simplifies a lot of the things and the problems I had with previous versions of SimCity. But it's, I guess this might fit into your point, and that for the person who wants to approach a civil engineer video game or like city planning video game, it's all about me, the casual gamer, and like establishing that it's easy enough to make a city, even though it's small, that does the things that I want it to do within a pretty limited time frame. And so, like, that's not at all what you want, and you can fit that into your thesis. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, like, before you get going, John, I'm going to say I can see both sides of it, because I've played SimCity, you know, 2000, which to me is probably the best in its day SimCity game. And I've seen the greatness that that game can be, where it's like, man, I've really tuned this city to be, it's super profitable, it's just running well, people are happy here, and like, you feel really accomplished by it. But I've also been in that same spot where you're like, why are these three city blocks without power? Like, where is the connection not being made? And like, you can't figure out where the connections aren't happening at. You pull your hair out for hours trying to make your city okay. So, I mean, I know there's definitely a double-edged sword to this thing, but
yeah,
I'm pretty much with you on it. Like, the only reason why I thought SimCity was okay, like the generic just SimCity that came out recently, is because it was so highly panned. Like, people hated on it so hard that I was like, this has got to be really terrible. And then when I played it, I was like, oh, this isn't all bad.
Well, that's the thing. For Extra Life, I bought it because I was watching you play it, and it looked really cool, and I actually had fun for the first few hours. And then I started to see all the issues, the glaring issues. Like, if you keep building your city, like, it encourages you to, eventually you hit a traffic log jam that is impossible to deal with. There's no way around it unless you, like, connect your residential area to your industrial area with a train system and no roads. Like, that's the only thing I found online that can eliminate that bottleneck. Because, and I mentioned this last week, people, when they leave their house, they'll go to the nearest job to them, not their actual job. There's no logic that will assign somebody to a job permanently. So the way that people move to their jobs, it creates bottlenecks pretty much once you have a mid-sized city. Also, they limited the sizes of the cities, too. And you couldn't expand like you can in Cities in Motion. Or, I'm sorry, City Skylines in previous SimCities.
Right.
So I realize they dumbed it down a little bit, but it would have been fine if your cities would have scaled properly, but they didn't. So I was willing to play a dumber city development game, but once I built a big city, I didn't want to have to just be constantly working on traffic problems. So that was my biggest frustration. It really turned me off to the game because I didn't want to build small cities and just leave them like that.
Right. Well, I think, John, what it is it's similar to what I was saying about Warcraft, in that they had this awesome, successful franchise, and they changed the formula.
Exactly.
Like, I think with SimCity, they had this thing that was working, and then they're like, hey, let's make SimCity a social game that you play with your friends
online. Something you can play in a browser.
Right. Yeah. And we'll add extra cash that you can speed up transactions with. No, that's kind of where it's at now. But I mean, I think really they were just trying to get people to play together in communities, and they ruined a lot of the really good things that were happening.
Because there really was no benefit to playing online with a friend.
Right. Because the other thing that would happen too is, like, I'm really excited about SimCity. So I start a community with you and Matthew.
And your son,
and
I think.
I play, and I get you guys to play 3 hours, and I play 3 hours, and then, like, now I'm going to get back on and play another 12 hours. Well, now my city's maxed out, and you guys haven't played again yet. So, like, I'm counting on you guys to bring resources to the region that aren't there. I mean, I'm just stuck, you know? So, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, they had good intentions, but I feel like they just didn't finish the product the way they should have. So that's why this week I picked up City Skylines, which I forgot to mention earlier, but that was a breath of fresh air, because that is the city development game that is like the spiritual successor to SimCity 2 or 3000.
Yep.
I've put 9 hours on that game in this week already, so I can't say enough good things about
that. Yeah, it's
a
really good game. I like that game a lot.
And I think you're always going to run into bugs when you try to create a game that's as ambitious as a city builder. And I've seen bugs in City Skylines as well, but they're nothing that can't be overcome. So,
yep. I think for me, all I can take is about 3 hours of city planning game before I'm done. So, like, I have to be in the right mood. And I think, like, the microwave frozen food equivalent of that game is like a state fair corn dog, where, like, sometimes that sounds like the best thing. Like, that's all I want. And then I eat one and then I'm like done. So, like,
you're like, what do I do with the other five of these that I bought?
Right. I don't know. It's like, what? Yeah. What does happen with the rest of these state fair corn dogs? Like, maybe I'll come back to it someday. Maybe they'll expire sitting in my freezer. So whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's just what that game is to me. So, like, but it's good while I'm playing it. And then I don't come back to it. So for me, I've got a positive opinion of it.
It was like an elephant ear. You do one, and then you're good for a year.
Yeah, I guess. But I enjoy it while I'm eating it.
The other thing that was kind of weird about that game, too, it was kind of cool, but then it kind of became like, man, this is really cheap, is that you get a good recycling center going and then turn all those materials into, like, microchips. And now it's like, hey, we have zero trash in the city and infinite money, so let's do whatever we want to do. Like, it was kind of cool, those specializations and stuff, but I don't know. It kind of was weird, too.
Or I was just did, like, the tourist attraction thing where it's like, oh, you've got a giant stadium and there's a rock concert there every night, and you're going to have a new $80,000 every day or something like that. So,
right.
It's all, yeah.
And one of the things that's kind of frustrating, too, is that when you create an industrial area, it automatically pollutes it. And that's not how things work now. Like, you're not allowed to just dump crap into the groundwater. I know companies do that, and it's a problem, but it's not like an accepted practice. It's more of like an exception to the rule. But
so
in any of these shitty games, the ground turns, like, tan colored whenever you build an industrial area and then it pollutes the groundwater and people don't want to live near it. And it's just not like that in real
life. So it shouldn't be a problem to the extent that it is in the game.
Yes.
It's all city builder logic. I mean, like, even City Skyline has this to some degree. Like, it's like, hey, I live in a pretty decent neighborhood.
Well,
and if a commercial plot happens to pop up within three blocks of my house, it's not going to make my house worth a quarter of the value it was 2 days ago.
Or somebody widens the road. I mean, God forbid they want to widen the road. It makes me sad.
Allow me to use this to segue, I guess, which is to say, I doubt that anyone who's ever worked on a SimCity game has also been a city planner or like a civil engineer. They're probably all just people making video games, right? Like game developers.
What does that have to do with segues? So, like, are they putting segues in SimCity?
No,
or?
Let's, okay, so I'm going to tell you a story here. All right, are you going to stick with me for a few minutes? All right, the year is 2006, and Matt Kratzer is working diligently as the only dishwasher for this entire restaurant, right? It's an awful restaurant, and he works for, like, a pig-nosed man who, like, is the worst person and, like, sexually harasses most of the staff, at least all the women. Not him, because he's pretty, you know, like, overweight and kind of gross. But, like, so anyway, he's working at a job, a really difficult, demanding job for minimum wage, and saving up all of his money, all of his precious coin to pre-order a game that he does. He pre-orders it like in the first month that these games are available for pre-order. This game is available. And so, and he's really,
I love the setup for this.
He's really, really excited for it. And the one thing that kind of like excites him at the time, he looks at all this laundry list of features for this game in comparison to another game that came out, Oblivion, saying it's going to be fantastic, right? And one of the things that catches my attention almost immediately is that this game is being spearheaded by four of NASA's rocket scientists. I'm like, these guys must be brilliant, right?
I forgot about that part.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this game's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be,
the world's going to be infinite.
Right, exactly. They're going to figure out every, like, bottlenecking problem that game developers have ever run into. Like, this is going to be the game that everyone's been waiting for years, right? And it's Oblivion, except it's got the things that we want in it. It's got multiplayer. It has dragons. It has a higher, like, level cap or something. It's got four times the size, the landscape of the capital city Cyrodiil, right? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this game's amazing. A naive Matt Kratzer gets off of work late that night and knows that there's no midnight release for this game, which is complete nonsense, right? This game's gonna be brilliant. And so, like, I literally, as if this is me waiting on you know, my sixth year in life waiting on Christmas or something, I do not sleep that night. I cannot. And I'm like, this game is going to be amazing. There's no other way to get around it. I know I have to go to my brother Joel's for some reason tomorrow. There's something going on or whatever. Like, I can sleep a little bit maybe after I stay up all night, literally waiting to go get this game. And so I go into GameStop at 9 o'clock in the morning as they're opening him up, and I'm bothering, I don't know, my friend works there at the time, but it's not my friend opening that morning, so I'm bothering one of his coworkers who already hates me, I think, and I'm like, hey, did Two Worlds get here? Where is it at? Can I get it? I pre-ordered it. And he shuffles through all these drawers, looks for the game, which I guess I've ruined at this point, Two Worlds. He's like, it's not here. I don't know where it's at. Can you just hang out for a bit? I'm like, all right, yeah, I guess so. And like, it finally, a FedEx truck pulls up. I'm like, oh, awesome, cool. And like, I watch him open up the games, not in there. I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, hold on though, because like the UPS truck's coming in a little bit too. So I wait like another 15 minutes, right? And like, I'm like, okay, cool. UPS guy, he's got a big box or whatever, a lot more than the FedEx guy had. He's got to be in there. And the guy opens it up. And it is, fortunately. The game is actually inside of the box. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. He can't ring me up fast enough. I'm like breaking the speed limit driving home to play this game. And I fire it up and it's the worst, dumbest looking, like, crappiest piece of crap. Like, this is, John refers to it
so
now.
Bad.
John refers to it now as bullshots, right? This is my first experience with bullshots, where I know that they must have showed footage that had been rendered and is like playing on their game engine on a computer that's worth six times what my console is worth. And so like all this stuff comes out of this media. The game looks amazing. I get home and like I can count the triangles. Like the game is just so bad. It looks awful. It looks like a PS1 game. And then I'm like, all right, I guess I'll see if it's fun though, right? And then like, so I go up to the first character. Another thing about this game that was also really exciting, I think all voice acting the entire game. And I go up and the first character just, hello, how can I help you? What would you like to buy? And like the worst voice acting in the world. I'm like, no emotion. Every character sounds like the most flat, terrible, like alien
and
the original Star Trek.
The mouth animations were done by the guy at Chuck E. Cheese who programmed the animatronics there. Right. So, yeah.
Who was also like Jeffrey Dahmer or something. So I don't know. Anyway, whatever. The game comes out. It's awful. Everyone knows it's awful. And like, I literally try to go back to the store to be like, how much money will you give me for this game? And like, I just bought it for $60. Is there any way in the world I can return this thing? Cause it's just such a steaming pile and it's just so awful. And the guy's like, we're GameStop. So $25. I don't know. Yeah. Something. And so like, I think I literally within that same week, returned the game and spend no more than 3 hours playing it.
I have to say thank you to you. Cause I don't know if you remember this or not. But I had this game on pre-order as well because you were really hyped for it.
I was.
You were like, this game's going to be fun. We can play it together. I work a full-time job at this time. And so I get off work and I call you and I'm like, hey, Matthew, so Two Worlds, go pick it up or what's going on here? What are we doing? And you're just like rocking. I can hear you rocking back and forth in a chair going, hot water burn baby. Hot water burn baby.
There's a degree of hyperbole in there, I think, but I think what he's really trying to do is make me sound better because I'm sure that I'm just in tears, blubbering something completely unintelligible about how awful the game is and trying to talk through all of my. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, that's the biggest piece of garbage I've ever laid eyes on. And then, like, that's probably where I become at least a little bit cynical, and gaming kind of dies for me for a little while.
Okay, but here's why Two Worlds 2 made my number one, though. All that happens. I'm not going to argue that. That was very true, very accurate. But then they come out and they say, hey, listen, dear friend Matthew, we're going to write you a personal apology letter saying this game was bad. We know it was bad. We did some things poorly. We learned, though. So all those great things that we wanted to do in the first game, we did it now. Mission accomplished in Two Worlds 2. Go buy it. And so,
we're like George Bush,
so,
mission
like,
accomplished.
Right.
Everybody goes and buys Two Worlds 2 because we still had this hope for Two Worlds to be this amazing thing.
It really was hyped so well. And you did feel like the letter that came to you was like God saying, I'll never flood the earth again. Here's this rainbow. And then like, I don't know, just, yeah, exactly. Everyone.
And John, I'm not kidding. They sent letters to people saying Two Worlds 2 is going to fix what we didn't do in Two Worlds 1. Like, they had heartfelt, like, we messed up, I'm sorry. And then you fire up Two Worlds 2, and you're like, oh, I can count the triangles again, but there's a few more of them. Like, it's just not good.
Right, exactly. I'm too depressed to know how to end the episode now, because that, like, even telling that story has brought up a lot of feelings. And like, I've been going through some really hard stuff this week and these guys have been helping me through it, but like retelling that story, regaling you guys with that part of my life is 10 times worse than anything I've been going through recently. And that's kind of saying a lot. Anyway, that's it for me. I don't know. Like, I can't talk maybe about Two Worlds 2 for a little while or Two Worlds for a little while. Do you guys have any other insights? Did you come up with any honorable mentions?
You know, I haven't thought of any.
Yeah.
So John will be putting a Let's Play of Two Worlds 2 out this week. Good for him.
You know what? Maybe Two Worlds 2, but never Two Worlds. I think that would be too cruel. I don't think John and I have a little back and forth we're going to try and start here where we're going to buy each other games and that person is duty bound to spend, I think, at least an hour in that game.
It's like Kenny versus Spinny.
Right, exactly. But like with, you know, awful computer and video games. So the rule is that I would have to buy the game for him. And I think honestly, like that would be where I'm like, I'm drawing the line in the sand here and I'm never going to buy another copy of Two Worlds. But John, you might end up playing Two Worlds 2 and giving me a second opinion to Joel's here in the near future.
I wonder if it's in my library.
If not, I'm sure it will be soon. And for having spent no more than $2.50.
Hey, listen, I have Two Worlds 2 in my Steam library. Epic Edition, okay? Epic Edition. And that sucker is still grayed out.
Oh, you could right-click on it and hide it if you'd like.
I wish I could send it to you. How much time do I have on it? 0 hours, 0 minutes.
Yeah, that's about what I figured. Okay. Well, that's got to do it for me this episode. I've got a lot of thinking to do. I might pull out some old photo albums and dust off some old games that give me faith in video gaming again, because when I think about Two Worlds, I then wonder why I still spend my time with video games as a hobby at all. Any final thoughts from either one of you?
Well, let's get Jonathan's Army and Matthew's belt and shoelaces before we hang out here. So.
Right. This has been a very somber, like, very harrowing final episode. Final episode. Yeah. Maybe I am. Am I going through with it?
I just did you a solid here, my friend.
Yes.
So I'm going to go watch some David Carradine.
Two Worlds Epic Edition is $1.19 right now. And I'm sending a copy to none other than our friend.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, have fun with that. Look forward to John's review, upcoming review of Two Worlds 2. And that's E.G. John.
All right,
thanks for joining us this week. It's been a fun one. We will catch you around next time. I hope it's been enlightening.
I'm kind of...